Hey, welcome to the Pachanga and Possibility Podcast, the podcast where we celebrate the power of healing and transformation. I am your host, Natalie Calzadilla. Each week, I'll be interviewing experts that will inspire you to discover your soul's purpose and create a fulfilling life. I'll also be sharing some spiritual coaching along the way and personal adventures as I enter this new phase in my life as a mother and entrepreneur. All right, mi gente, grab your cafecito and a notebook. Let's get started. Welcome, Julie, to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, definitely. I've been looking forward to this interview for a year.
Yeah, me too.
And so Julie and I met in the Thriving Healers program. She was my first business coach. I was a new spiritual coach and healer and wanted to create a thriving healing practice. And she has this program called Thriving Healers. And I'm like, yep, that looks pretty clear to me. That's exactly what I want to do and be. And her program was excellent because it's, even though I have an MBA in entrepreneurship, it's so different when it comes to having a business, a healing and coaching business. It's a different animal. Like, I feel like nothing that you can apply from my MBA can be applied to this other than just like the commitment and the level of endurance, the grit that you need to get through it.
That's true. I also have an MBA and I don't feel it helped me so much to build my own practice.
Right? Like, and that was one of the things that attracted me to you, was that I was like, oh, this is awesome. She's like super woo-woo and a healer, but she also has an MBA. I was like, yes, if I found
know,
the other
soul
unicorn.
Sisters.
Like, somebody will understand like the two parts of the brain, of my brain. And so if you can tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your story, it'd be awesome.
Thanks. I'm just so happy to be here with you. It's so good to reconnect. And I just loved having you with us in the program. My other unicorn, right? It's so nice to be able to talk left brain. I think you were one of my only students who appreciated systems in the way that I appreciate systems.
Yes. Yes. You know, systems, like, operations.
Yes. Yeah, we love that stuff. My journey to getting to this point is that I started out in the corporate world, and after I got my MBA, and I was doing human rights work in the corporate world, like how working conditions and things like that, where products were made. And I loved that work because I was always trying to do something that was around service, but it was so toxic, that world. And I know so many practitioners who we have a job that we are in order to be able to then do our work on the side, or it feels like, how do we do that thing? And so I enrolled at the Barbara Brennan School of Healing when I was starting to get kind of fed up with that toxic environment. It was like, you know, just... And I started this massively deep, I didn't really know what I was stepping into, transformational journey for myself when I enrolled into that four-year training. And it really supported me in doing deep work, deep healing work for myself for many years, and also learning how to hold that space for clients. And I love, oh my God, I could like live, breathe, eat transformational, you know, spiritual work. It's like, you know, let's get to the root of what's here and what's the truth. And, you know, and when I finished that program and I started building my healing practice, I had an assumption that it would go well. Like, I was just like, well, I have this business background, I have the healing side now, this, I'm going to marry those two things. Well, it was so much more challenging. It wasn't just like put a little flyer up around town. I don't know what I thought, but it wasn't the things that I was doing. There was two parts. There was my own fear of growing, like putting myself out there that I hadn't had to face in a corporate environment. I was hiding behind somebody else's brand. So all of that came up. And then like not wanting to, you know, have people think that I was just so new and fresh and like, I didn't want to seem bigger than my britches at that point. I just wanted it to seem humble and all these things. And then I had no actual clue how to attract and enroll clients. So I basically crashed and burned at the beginning of building that healing practice. But my love of entrepreneurship and my love of the healing and my devotion to those two things, like really, I really, there was no point that I wasn't like three, no matter what, how many failures I had, I was gonna really stick with it until I saw it through. I was really committed to that. I couldn't imagine ever going back to the corporate world or something else. And so I started to really, I also wasn't liking the teachings I would get around entrepreneurship a lot of the time. They had this inauthentic feel, right? Like when someone was teaching sales or marketing, it just felt inauthentic. And so it took me some time, but I started to bridge those two things, like how to really show up fully authentically in myself and fully taking a stand for clients and potential clients. How to just show myself, like I think back to the videos I did at the beginning, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, like just a version of myself where it's like I just didn't really know how to show up and connect in that way, like in a marketing sense. So I pieced those things together, and as my practice started to take off and I started to work in a more deep way with more clients, a lot of my colleagues started to ask, well, how are you doing that? What are you doing? Like, how do I find a client? And I was finding myself just on little, you know, calls with a group of colleagues, and they were picking my brain and asking for support. And so at some point, it was like a strong enough nudge that I just was like, I'm gonna teach this. I'm gonna teach this. You know, it kept getting nudged in that direction. I never actually saw myself as being someone who'd be, you know, a business coach for healers. But it just emerged and I followed it. And that was when Thriving Healers was born. And it started, I think you were in one of our first cohorts. It started 6 months, smaller program, and it's really developed over the years to a really comprehensive space and container for practitioners to get the skills that they need, the strategy that they need to really be able to show up and actually connect with potential clients and build a sustainable income and do it in a way that's it's solid, it's sustainable, and it feels good to them. And a space to do the deep inner work that's going to come, right? It's a soul journey it is a really intense soul journey to birth your own workout into the world. And when you take it like that it's this soul journey where you're seeing it as your own growth. You will become a much more of yourself through the process. It becomes a really beautiful process, and we can start to let go of some of the resistance that we might have to following that thread and putting ourselves out there and marketing ourselves and all the things that come along with being a practitioner at this time in the world, which requires us to build a clientele, right?
Exactly. It's so crazy. I remember when I was in the program, when you talk about like the journey that you go through in doing this, like you think, oh, it's a business coaching program. Like I'm going to learn all of these tools and strategies and things to just implement into my business and we move forward. And it's not, it's like you're healing all of your business related wounds or wounds that can affect your business. Like, if you're like, what do you mean? I have business wounds. You're like, yeah. It's like, well, how do you feel about marketing? And how do you feel about being seen? And how do you feel about doing enrollment calls and your value? And all these different things came up for me in the program, and they still do. And
Here.
yeah, they show up, in different ways. And I remember I was even crying in module 3. I'm still like, remember clearly, like the find your niche module. I was like, why can't I understand this? Because it like hits so many chords. So it's crazy, like the personal growth that comes from the program and doing this kind of work. Like it's really still soul level work, even though it's business oriented.
Yeah, I think you're 1,000% right. And that's what I really want healers to know is that you don't do business at the expense of yourself so that you can then find clients and do your work. You become yourself in the way that you build your business. So it's going to confront any place that, yeah, do I have a fear of success that's hidden under there? Do I have a place that feels unworthy? Do I have a place that feels like the imposter syndrome? Who am I to be charging this much? Do I have this belief that there's so many layers that come up? Do I have this belief that it's actually wrong, or I have guilt about charging for my services, and how do I work with that? And it's you know, over the years of developing the program, I'm saying more and more that there is an integration required of inner and outer. And healers tend to love the inner work. We're in process a lot. We know how to go to those depths and create those transformation for ourselves. It's not the case for every person, but often the action side of taking the steps with the right strategy is where we get stuck. And there's a place in our own development individually where we've done enough work on ourselves that we've accessed the essence of our own medicine and what we're here to bring in service to others into the world. And our growth stalls if we don't then start to take that forward. And that requires this outer action. It requires our left brain. It requires all these steps. And we can't leave behind the inner. So there's always this integration of the inner and the outer that we're working with in Thriving Healers so that you are becoming who you are. And in the process, you're also taking these actions and steps and building something that's sustainable. And it's so fun and beautiful, and it's so terrifying at times, and all the
Yes, it is definitely.
things.
But I learned so much. I still have my binder and everything with all my stuff in it.
I love a good student who prints out all the things. It's so
Yes,
funny.
yes. So, what do you find is like the typical, like the biggest block for healers when it comes to starting their business? Or even if they've been in business for a while, but they're just like stuck, they're not getting the clients. Like, what's been like the major themes that have come up?
The biggest block, and I would say this is a human, if I look across all of humanity, but it shows up for healers 100%. It really tends to be our worthiness. Am I enough? And it can show up, it just can show up in so many little ways. I'm reminded of this interview I saw with Oprah once because I really think this is a human piece, and she was saying that in all of her decades of interviewing heads of state, presidents, famous celebrities, you know, the Dalai Lama, everybody, she said there was always one question. I don't know how she said this, but in this interview, she said there's always one question they had after. The first thing they would say at the end of the interview, was that okay? Like, was that okay? You know, and some version of that question, right? Like, was I enough? And
Oh, oh my God. And you're like, hey, you're on Oprah. Like,
So that is the place where our worthiness and our fear that we aren't enough, that we're too much, it could show up in lots of ways, you know, is the place that as we work with that core wound of humanity, you might say, like the gifts can come through more and more. And it gets easier. It really does get easier. It's not that there's always not the next place that there's a stretch and growth through, but it gets easier to show up and to, I always say, like the confidence that we're going to develop, it's not something that you're going to come in with. Like if you haven't built a business before, if you haven't put yourself out into the world, it's okay if you don't have confidence about how to do that. It's okay if you feel like, huh, like that's normal. The confidence just naturally builds as you take the steps. It's like riding a bike, right? Like you wouldn't have confidence that you can ride a bike before someone teaches you how to ride a bike. Then you learn and you fall and you get up and you practice, and then all of a sudden it's just muscle memory. And if someone says, can you ride a bike? You're like, yeah, I can do that. So it's the same with our healership. Like there's levels of confidence that just come through the direct experience of doing the work. After, I remember the first client I booked for 6 months of healing work. It was so scary. I was like, what if? I just thought, what if I had only done session by session at that point. So I'd never committed to someone with 6 months. So we were going to work together for 6 months. Then I was like, what if she goes to some dark place and I can't go there with her? Or it's too, what if she doesn't come out? I go there with her and she doesn't come through it. What if, I just had all these things that were so scary. And that client had the, maybe to this day, I don't know, the biggest transformation I have ever seen in that time. And I saw that, oh, all I have to do is show up. All I have to do, if I can just show up, her journey is gonna unfold and we're gonna go where we need to go. And then that confidence, that little muscle got started to get built that, okay, right? So the next person, it wasn't so scary to sign up for 6 months of work together, right? So it's sort of this being really gentle with the process, but also willing to do the hard things and do the uncomfortable things, because most healers, not all, but most healers I know aren't like, yeah, I really want to implement a business strategy. Maybe you and I are like that ourselves, but not in general. It's usually like, oh, I wish I could just have clients show up, be on my healing table, or be in my session room, and we do the work.
And not worry about any of the business side of things. And it's so crazy because it's normally like that, like they don't want to do all the business stuff. Like we're kind of the outliers with a business background. And what came up for me, like a lot of people would look and say, like, oh, you know how to do all the operations, all the computer things, all like everything technical. And it still didn't make my journey any easier. My journey was just different. Like all the worthiness stuff came up for me. And that's where I was totally like paralyzed for a long time. So it's just crazy how like it's not like, oh, one person's in a better place than the other because of this skill set or that. It's like you're gonna have your own demons come up. And then that's it, you gotta work through that and take those steps and be courageous in the process because it's an enormous amount of vulnerability to put yourself out there and to charge what you really need to be charging.
Yeah, it is an enormous amount of vulnerability, and there's generally it's like a muscle to start charging appropriately, I find. And so we do this gently. It's not like you have to take it all on. The feelings might come up, but you don't have to go from charging $50 for a session to having a $5,000 package. You stretch your prices to the place where it's uncomfortable but tolerable. And you start, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna take this next stretch, right? And then that becomes a little bit more comfortable, and you start to see, okay, that worked, and here's how that helped this person. Then you take the next stretch. It's both in putting yourself out there. Some people, they have real trauma around putting themselves out there. Maybe they've been, they, you know, they've, I've had students who've had actual assault in their life and things. So it's actually hitting into this life or past life traumas, and that will be accessed. But the thing is, it's here for healing. So when it comes, it's here for healing, and we do the healing as we're taking the steps so that both can unfold, right? Like you get the deep healing in your own being, and you take a step that actually helps you bring your work forward and serve. And I mean, it's just quite a journey.
So, tell me one of your favorite success stories of your students.
Oh my
Do you
gosh.
have one?
You know, it's like I could tell you the stories of a student who came in 2 months, she made $80,000, you know, because that happened. And for me, the success stories that like are the most meaningful are the ones where a student they get a piece of themselves back through the process. And those happen in small ways all of the time. And of course, we're coming together for an outer result. We want our students to find clients, to build a successful income, and that's a focus of the program. But I do tell my students what you're going through right now and who you're becoming by facing this piece is so much more valuable than the outer result. You know, yes, I want the outer result. I'm grateful to have a thriving business and that provides for me and my family. I'm more grateful for the freedom that I've accessed by doing the work to do this. That's in a way that's in integrity and alignment with who I am. And that's what I love to see when my students have those breakthroughs, you know. Maybe they just had enough courage one day to say something more directly to a client that created a breakthrough, or you know, they pulled back from overgiving, and they like released lifetimes of codependency to take care of themselves instead of overgive to their clients, and found that the relationship actually got healthier. Like those things are gold.
That's awesome. That's so to watch. I feel like when you watch clients go through these transformations and breakthroughs, like those warm fuzzies are what make
Yeah.
like everything worth it. Like
True.
all the trials and tribulations, like everything where you're just like, okay, it sucked to get to this point, but now to see like this person transform before your eyes and be in a much better place, like it's so rewarding.
It's the best. Yeah. It's why I do
So
it.
as far as you creating like your personal journey from like, well, let me ask you this first. You still have a healing practice besides Thriving Healers, or you're just doing Thriving the business coaching?
Right now, I'm just doing Thriving Healers. In the last couple of years, I pulled back from private client work just because I had a health crisis in my family that I was attending to. I'm still doing it here and there. I do a lot of intuitive channeling and guidance work for some either my Thriving Healer students, bringing that in more, and also other longtime clients that still looking for that kind of support.
And that's also, you can do that remotely too, because I know with the pandemic, I'm sure that all of these like
Yeah.
in-person, face-to-face type of healing modalities also
Yeah.
like suffered. And did you, how was that process for you with those students during
Yeah,
the pandemic and
that
how it
was,
affected?
yeah. So I feel like it was actually the people. So, like, let's say our program starts at the beginning of the year, and then March was when, like, these big shutdowns happened of that year. I think it was 2020. I actually feel like the students that had joined had put themselves in this really great position because they had this container of support to help them navigate not just how to build a healing practice, but to do it now during the pandemic. They were setting, either they had, were setting themselves up. And our students who had been with us for a few years, they thrived during the pandemic because they already had built the systems to attract and enroll clients, and people were needing support more than ever. So they really, it's been a time where if you have put the systems in place to, know how to attract and enroll clients, this time and continuing on since that time of the pandemic, more and more people are looking for healing work and they're needing it and they're more stressed and they're more anxious and they're having more mental health challenges. So that's been a time for our students to step up into service. When the ones who had just joined us, it gave them the opportunity, like they just got thrown into, okay, if I was doing my work in person, how am I going to move it online? And navigate that successfully, to find, because people still needed the support, right? And wanted it. So we were just guiding them through that process of enrolling clients in a deeper commitment through some sort of online support. We only have some of our clients were completely comfortable doing distance work, and then some it was more in person. But there's rarely a modality that can't be adjusted to support someone online.
True. What are the type of modalities like that students come in with? Like what have been the most popular with that you've attracted into the program?
A lot of energy healing, energy medicine, transpersonal psychology, spiritual therapists, people who do a lot of somatic embodiment work, trauma work. I'm trying to just do a scan in my brain. Yeah, we have the like we'll have a nutritionist here or there, yeah, we have one. Well, she's a therapist, but she's really much more of a healer. She does more energetic, somatic type work. We've got two movement-based practitioners at the moment. We've got a lot of Barbara Brennan trained healers, since that's my background, and Jonathan, who co-leads Thriving Healers with me. We've both, been in that as a student of Barbara Brennan for many years and him teaching there for many years. So we have that modality come through. Sometimes it's like Reiki and yoga practitioners that have integrated. Maybe they've got a lot of smaller modality and trainings, but they're doing their work, and it's not so like I did this 4-year training, but they've pieced together different experience and training over the years, and they're trying to figure out how to make sense of that and what to do with that, right? Maybe they like you, they've got like flower essence, and then they've got this piece, and it's like, how do I put all these pieces together to create an actual business and a service that people understand how I can help them.
Yeah, absolutely. I can. That's so valuable because I feel like even in my own journey as a I switched the word from being like ADD to multi-potentialite, which is like the new like
Cool.
buzzword for being accepting of yourself when it comes to like doing and being all the things. And I feel like it's really valuable for me for someone from the outside. Like it doesn't matter how much training I have in business and strategy and marketing and this and that. I still need that outside perspective for someone to look at everything that I do and to package it in a way that makes sense and that it makes sense for other people and myself and how to, because when you're so close to it, it's really
Absolutely.
hard to see. Definitely.
I, even for me, doing this for years and years, it was like a couple years ago, I remember saying to my co-leader, like, oh, who's my niche? And it was like I had a moment of blackout because it's like I'm so close to it. He's like, what? We work with healers. Okay. I just like got so close to it for a moment that I couldn't even see the forest for the trees, or the trees for the forest, whatever that saying is. And so that does happen with our students. And one thing that I find is really important, and the support that we can particularly give is that we're healers first, right? And we're strategists or coaches second. And so when it's like it's really important to have someone supporting you that can understand what you do and the value, for example, if I'm taking you, Natalie, for the value of flower essences to change someone's life. Like if someone doesn't actually have a framework and an understanding in some way of these esoteric or somatic or modalities, it's really hard to help someone craft a authentic way of speaking about that other like laymen, regular humans on the planet can understand, right? So we're kind of a lot of the work we're doing is in translating what someone does into words that everybody could understand without losing the depth and the sacredness of the work.
Yeah, it's so hard when you work in something that's so like ethereal and it's intangible and it's like, how do you explain like soul level changes and things that happen energetically and past lives or it's just all this really deep work that you can't grasp and show somebody a product and to communicate to to the layperson that has no vocabulary for these type of experiences. Because we do, we're taught to be like, oh, what do you do? I'm a electrician. I'm a, and they say like the modality. And you taught us that it's like, no, don't say the modality. Like, at least back then, I don't know if the way if you coach you differently, but it's like, no, don't say like the thing that you do. Like, they don't really care. It's like, what, who are you helping and how are you helping them? So, and what are the results are they going to get? And like all the million modalities that they don't care. You know what I mean? Like, that's not important. That's not going to add any value to the conversation if they don't know about any of these modalities. So it's like, who are you helping and why and what is going to be that benefit? And I still remember, even in my mind, the printout from the class with like the sentence like I help X, so Y can, like the whole, the one-liner. And it's difficult to translate that. It's as an energy worker and working in those realms to like help somebody to communicate what you do and how to do it and why you should help, why they need you.
I one of the things, I'm sorry, I'm like trying to pull my thought together. One of the things that I really want healers to kind of get is that it's their job, not the client's job, not the potential, not the public's job to understand what you do. It can be so frustrating. People say to me all the time, like, nobody gets what I do, nobody understands it. And that's true for a lot of the general public or people who would be highly benefit from these modalities, they don't get it. And so part of one of the things that we can do is take on the responsibility to be the bridge and to translate it. And it becomes a muscle, again, a muscle that you develop to take the essence of what you do and speak to it in a way that someone's going to understand. Let me just give like a really like a simple example. I have a client right now. She does craniosacral therapy. And she does something as a form of process work where she helps people go into the body and have a dialogue with their bodies about what's happening in their bodies and what their body's telling them. Now, if she's at the grocery store or something, and someone asks her what she do, and she's a craniosacral therapy, nobody's gonna really know how that could help them, right? But if she starts to get clear on who she serves, which who she serves now is women in their midlife who have gotten to a point where it's like, what am I doing? Like the kids are out of the house, the maybe they've been doing a job for a long time, but it's not satisfying them, and they're starting to, they don't have good energy. Sometimes they have chronic illness because they've been not listening to their bodies for so long. So she says, are you in middle life and you want something more and you're feeling exhausted and you just don't have the energy for it, but you know there's something more for you in your purpose. And then they raise their hand and they're like, yeah, that's me. And then she's like, I'd love to share with you how I can help you with that. Then you start to go into these layers. So it's just a practice of figuring out what my client, where they're at and what they're struggling with, and then starting to meet them there. It's the same thing for me in meeting healers around their struggle around building a healing practice. It's like my deepest longing is help people, is help my students to be like so deeply connected to their own truth and their own guidance and be able to take that forward. I can't just say that because what they need is they need help finding some clients so they can do their work and building their confidence to do their work in the world. So that's what we talk about to start. Then we get into the layers
It
of
sounds like it's so
how to do
crazy
that.
because it sounds so like easy and basic and like surface level there, but really it's all of the
Yeah.
behind the scenes to
Yes,
like
there's lots of layers to do these.
all the layers to get those clients so you
Yeah.
can thrive like this
Yes.
very easy task and that it sounds like it can be with the right training and the right support. So you talk about on your website, you have a roadmap to find clients. So like what's something really practical that we can give some healers in today's interview?
Like send them to a resource that they can check out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go check out on my website, thrivinghealers.com. I have an hour-long training. I'm in that training, I'm giving you the 6 steps to find clients and really make a solid, sustainable living in a way that feels good. It feels an integrity. It feels like you're being yourself. And so I'm really giving all of the full overview of what that journey looks like and the 6 key pieces you're gonna need. So I think it's a valuable thing, an hour, take an hour of your time. You can put it on 1.2 or 1.5 speed if you want at this point in our technology, however, and just really absorb that because I feel like it can give you a big paradigm shift around what you think is needed and what's actually needed, and that this can be a beautiful life-changing journey to take, to really find a system that works for you to just be being yourself, talking about your work, and having a steady flow of clients moving towards you.
Now, something that sticks out to me is when you say the words like high integrity business model. Like, what does that mean for the person who is interested and doesn't know about business models, period? And then not only do we have a business model, but we want that it's high integrity. And what does it look like when we don't have one that's high integrity? Like, tell me a little bit more about that.
My sense of this is that overall, healers, they're not going to build a business if it doesn't have integrity, if it means that they're going to have to sell out, they're going to have to be inauthentic, they're going to have to do anything slimy or icky that has tactics behind it. We're just not going to do it. And there's a lot of belief systems in our industry around marketing, around business in general. Just that word can conjure up a lot of feelings, like business, and I would love for people to really see that business is just a neutral vehicle. That you're driving that vehicle to your destination, which is service, right? And so what vehicle you choose and how you drive that vehicle is up to you, not to it's there's no there's not no you know a business can do corporate-y or and or out of integrity, slimy, manipulative things to run their business, or they can do it in a way that's good for them, the earth, their students, their clients, the world. And that's for me what a high integrity business is. It's actually sustainable, meaning that it's in harmony with ourself, with our communities, with the world, with the earth. And my background in the corporate world was in sustainability work and finding ways that we just made socks and sneakers that were not bad for the planet or the people who made them. And so I bring that into the work of building a healing practice is how do we do this in a way that's actually, you know, when you build a business and you're actually making good money, you can do a lot of service in the world. You can give back, you can take care of yourself, you can take care of your family, then you can take care of your communities. You can start to really do a lot. And so your business in and of itself can be service to the people it serves, and it can be service just through its existence by the way that you run it, which is just that it's in harmony, you know, it's sustainable.
So I know I have some listeners because some of the listeners are good friends of mine. And they have I think a visceral reaction to the word sales or
Yeah,
marketing, or
totally.
they're saying oh, I'm not a business person, or it sounds like so businessy, or how could you briefly just debunk the whole marketing sales thing, because you
Yeah.
were always so amazing at communicating what it really means to
Yeah.
put yourself out there, and what looks like selling really isn't selling. You're communicating and you're educating. You always say it so beautifully, so please drop some knowledge when it comes to that.
Yeah, your friends, and I'm sure they're amazing practitioners, are not alone. We have these belief systems that are locked in culturally, they've come in. And if we get to the essence of what marketing is, it's being willing to be seen in your gifts, put yourself out there in its service. Someone will not, if every person who had the gift, the secret, the tool, the modality, the whatever that our industry holds, the group of practitioners and healers and healing modalities, and they weren't willing to be seen in that and share of that it exists, then we lose out on that service. Marketing is service because it's simply letting people know what's possible and what's available. And so when you market yourself, you're saying, here's what's available. It's like if you know that you want something, but someone's not, you know, I'm trying to think of an example of like, you know, you want a cheeseburger, but the cheeseburger joint is like shut down. It's got boarded windows, the lights are off, but in there, they're making the best cheeseburgers that exist on the planet, but they're hiding it.
Right, you'd be
You're not gonna get
angry.
your
You're
cheeseburger.
like,
You're
why are you
like,
not telling
why are
me?
you hiding that? Yeah. And it's almost arrogant to think that we can't trust other people to make good decisions about what they do and don't want to invest in. So when it comes to sales, we can trust that we can take a stand for someone and that if we're in our integrity, which is you know, that's the intention. Our integrity says, I'm going to take a stand for what you as the potential client want. I'm going to hold that with you and for you. And I'm going to stay with you and be with you in the journey of exploring, is this right? Is this service and this investment right and true for you from your deepest self? That's what we're looking for. We're not looking for, I want you to sign up and say yes to my service at the expense of yourself. We don't want that. That wouldn't be good for us. It wouldn't be good for the client. However, a lot of people, when it comes to committing to the thing that they need, they want, the change they want, they're going to hit into a lot of fear. A lot of fear of commitment, a lot of fear that they can't do it, that they're going to fail. All sorts of things come up for our potential clients in this exploration of if I say yes to working with Natalie, will I really get there? Will it really work for me? Can I see my commitment through? And so if we just kind of put it out there like this, you know, really broadly, and just say, hey, I'm here. If you, but we're actually kind of like, just let me know. I'm over here. Let me know. Instead of actually kind of staying with someone through the process of this is what I have to offer, this is what I hear you want and need. And then that client's like, that makes sense. I can see how it's going to help me get there, and I'm scared. So they say, oh, I have to talk to my partner. Oh, the finances are too much. These fear things come up, and our job is just to stay with them to find the truth instead of them making the decision from the fear that they can't do it or it won't work for them. What's true? What's their deeper guidance? What's their soul nudging them towards? If it's a no, we 1,000% honor that. And if it's a yes, we just want to help them find that. So that's the difference between trying to manipulate or coerce or push someone into doing something that's not right for them and being a space for them to access that deeper truth, which requires us as the practitioner to stay with the person as they're making that decision instead of like, oh, I'm here, but I'll be over there. Just let me know, right? There's an energetic to this where we're actually just staying present through that process, and healing happens through that process. Healing happens in sales. Healing happens in marketing. It's
That's such
amazing.
a crazy statement to hear. You know, it's like healing happens in sales. Like healers, you need to hear that. Like part of this process can be
Totally.
healing for them.
Yeah. And
That's
we want
such
it to be healing.
absolutely. That's very yummy. Let's see what other juiciness. So I'm very interested. So there's listeners that are like in the beginning part of their healing journey. Or as coaches, and then others that are established have been doing it for a while, and they might be interested in the further along part. So speaking to those that are like more further along, I'm interested to hear like how your journey has been from like when you launched cohorts 1 and 2 versus to now. I lost track. I don't know, it was like 5 years later or something. And we're still, how many, like what number cohort are you in?
We're enrolling
And
for our 13th cohort.
13. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
And it's a year training for, so it's we've been with 13
Oh,
groups.
it's a
So we have,
year now. Okay, because when I did it
yeah.
was 6 months, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So
Yeah,
it's a
had
year.
a deep journey. I think that this is one of the things about as you progress in the journey and you get the basics in place, like you know how to find a client, you know how to enroll a client, you know, maybe cash flow is getting a little bit more stable. There's a few things that happen. The depth that you can go to because you're working with a specific type of audience. So once someone's niched and they're working with an audience, there's a depth that you can start to go to because you start to know this inside and out. You know, my language around this, you know, and how I can meet my students with it versus the first cohort that we taught, it's evolved, right? So my depth as a teacher, the teachers on our team, right? That all evolves. And it's organic. We want our growth to be organic, you know? And so when you've worked with a group of students or clients over years, you're going to start to see these threads that they all need certain things or they all need a certain skill set. Maybe it's like, oh, boundaries is really the thing. And you start to become more and more gifted and skilled in that area of helping your clients get there faster and easier because of the depth of experience that comes with doing it over time. So that's one of the incredible benefits. And then on a business side, you can start to progress. Like the first, I always say, like the first level of business is foundations. What we're looking for there is that you know how to talk about what you do in a way people understand, you know, to enroll a client, which means actually sit and talk with them about your prices and your services, and that you have a service that's priced appropriately. It honors you so it becomes sustainable, right? You're just getting a steady stream of good paying clients coming in. Once you have that, then it's like natural to go to the next step where you can move into the phase I call like it's a leveraged phase, where maybe you're going to bring in a group work, right? Maybe you're going to expand your offering so that it's again, like we went from starting out, it was a 6 month program, now we have a year long. Maybe you're going to start to see that there's certain teachings that every student needs and you can build a curriculum around that. And that's good for you as the practitioner because you can leverage your time, right? If you have a group and you put some curriculum together and you're teaching certain things to that group of students, you can create it once and then it exists, right? We have a membership site. People can go in and watch our trainings. We don't have to teach every one-on-one student that client that same piece of information. And then we have group work so that leverages our time and our income. And it's good for the students because they have a community around them. And then from there, you know, you can go into starting to scale, right? A lot of healers, practitioners will come to me and they've got the idea that they want to go to passive income right away, maybe get an online course going. And I generally recommend that for newbies because it's hard to be successful at enrolling hundreds of people into a low cost thing. It's much easier to enroll one client into a deeper, higher cost, higher value program. We just get that backwards. We think, well, if it's 100, 200, $500, that it'll be easier. But in order to sell something at that level, you have to know your niche so well. You have to have that language worked out. And the way you work it out is that you've been working with that kind of a client over a period of time and you understand them from the inside out, right? So that's sort of the natural progression of a healing practice. And it's important to start at those foundations because one of the things we're doing at our foundations is addressing the core issue that you asked the first question about, which is worthiness, you know, like building our confidence in our ability to really show up for our clients and getting that client experience and feeling really good about our client work.
Speaking to the building our confidence to show up for our clients, let's tie in supervision
Okay.
because I feel that that's something very unique that the program offers because it's not business related. Like it's fully supporting the healers with the stuff that comes up in our sessions.
Yes.
It's like it's so talk more about that part and how it's played out over the years and how it's been supportive and why it's so important and how that plays a really big part of the program.
Right. So when I was, getting my training as a healer, we did supervision, and supervision comes from the therapy model, and it's a space to do your own work. So it's professional development. It's your development of your gifts as a practitioner and also of your professional boundaries and your professional ethics and how you hold a safe and deep container for your client. And so in a supervision session, you might bring, here's what got activated in me in this client session. They're not showing up, they're late, and I'm getting annoyed, or the client is bringing something that's really overwhelming, and I've never seen this before, and I'm not sure how to work with it, and it's creating some overwhelm in me or some fear that I can really help them. Or my client's got this pattern, and I don't know how to help them with it, right? So when I started Thriving Healers, I could see so clearly that I see supervision as like the grease on the wheel. If you're not getting that support to have a space to work with what comes up in relation to your client, your business will stagnate because your clients will stagnate. So supervision is your continually deepening your own ability and depths of where how you show up in presence with your clients and work your own stuff in relation to what comes up in your healing work. And if you have not even considered that your stuff might come up in healing work, that's a red flag, right? It's normal. It's part of the process. We're affected by our clients. It's healthy. And we want to have a space to work with that. So in Thriving Healers, we do group supervision where we're bringing these pieces that come up with our clients so that we can, one, feel like we have a safety net and work with our clients that, like, hey, if something comes up, I have a place to go and bring that and work with it. And get support on how to continually show up in more and more presence with my client, and that you can work with all the things that will come as part of this journey. You know, I'm afraid I'm not enough for this client. I'm afraid that I had someone a couple weeks ago say like, "Hey, maybe I should refer this client out." And so we did a little supervision, like, "What's going on there? Is this actually that your client is coming to you with something outside of your scope of work, or is your imposter syndrome worthiness got triggered?" Right? So let's work with where that really comes from so that you can stay with the client, or if it would have been, it was a supervision piece, it wasn't like a scope of work, this person's not someone I can help. It was a piece of like just owning their gift and that client found them for a reason. And that this was the opportunity to deepen into self-trust and so showing up for more for that client. So I find it's important from the health of the client healer relationship, but it's also important for the health of your business and your practice because it allows your business to keep evolving and growing because you're continuing to evolve and grow with your clients.
I remember that I utilized the supervision because it's like I got thrown to the wolves like out
I
the
remember you had
gate.
a quite an intense client
Like, you still
couple.
remember?
Yes, I do.
So continuing like the other side of that story, so I get this client and she's my first like package that I sell. I'm all excited. I still haven't learned the portion of like, hey, we need to like vet the people to see if they qualify to be a client, because maybe they don't know, like they're not ready. And it'd be cool if you can even touch on that too. But I didn't know, and so I was excited I had a new person. And this person had an enormous amount of trauma. And every trigger under the sun came up for me, but mainly I was like, should I refer them out? Terrified, what you mentioned earlier was like, am I going to be able to like carry them through this process? Because like I don't want to leave them in a worse place than when they started. Like, what if they get something super triggered and I can't like hold what they need, and they end up in a worse place, and being irresponsible like in that way and unethical. And I was like terrified that this person who had already been through so many, I mean, awful things would have would have trauma like re-triggered and end up in some like insane dark night of the soul that I can't like that I'm not qualified to handle, right? Because I'm not a therapist, I'm a healer and a coach. So I remember I came to with that issue to you guys, and it was super supportive, and it gave me like the strength to finish out the program, the 3 months that I had initially set out with her. And then I referred her out, and I was so happy to learn later that she was one was that person that I referred her to was able to confirm to me that that was like one of the top like five, like in this therapist, like 40 years of experience, it was like one of like the extreme cases. So like no wonder I was like, oh my God. And because it was justified, it was legit severe trauma. And he was like, you got like out the gate, like one of like those clients that graduates you into like what you're doing.
A massive initiation.
A massive, and but that initiation terrified me to death. Like I think I was traumatized for a while because I was like, oh my God, if I get somebody else like that. Now I things, it's different. But the other thing was that that person still came back to me a while later and said, sometimes I feel like I made more progress with you in those 3 months than where you referred me out to. And I was like, what? Like, this is crazy. So, like, here we think that we can and we're not capable, but we were able to still like develop, like create value and make progress, even
Changed your
though.
life. Sounds like you changed your life.
So it's just wow.
And I'm so glad you had the supervision space to hold you through the process where, okay, this is big. And it's not that when we don't want to scare everybody that, like, when you start seeing clients that you're going to get a big.
Yeah, this was an outlier by me. Like I have
You had
confirmed by this
an
was like a some an outlier for like a very like a veteran when it comes to
outlier.
the
Oh my goodness.
trauma.
I think it speaks to your depth and the safe space that you create for people, Natalie, that she could go there and that you were holding that. And it was, you were working with like, oh, your own container of like, oh, okay, how do I show up for this? And this is where it's like the outer and the inner meet because, sometimes outliers are going to happen and it sneaks through and we didn't see it coming. And it's important for our own growth and something was important. And the outer strategy around having a clear scope of work, qualifiers, questions that are important for you and your modality that you work, that will help you assess, is this client a good fit for what I'm doing, right? So we put that in place, like a structure in place that's going to help, weed out anybody who's not a good fit. And then having a container, because whether they are a good, the perfect fit client, you still have, you'll still have some supervision pieces that arise, right? And especially important when there's a challenging client case that always important, but especially important when you have a specifically challenging client case that you at least have a, again, that's why for me, it feels like a safety net, like someone to go to and
It
bring.
was enormously like supportive and valuable because I mean, who would I have got to at that point? It's just like I needed that support from Jonathan and you to me to bring this like really a unique case to the table and be like, what am I okay? Like, should I proceed? Should I not proceed? I want to make sure this is safe for like me and the other person. And you guys gave me the courage to like contain, like hold that container. And it w ended up working out at the end. But even like the value and the worthiness thing, and I was just like, wow. And even from an empath's perspective, because you get pushed like, how big of a container do I want to have? And where are my limits? You know, how deep and dark are we going to go or not go? And when do I refer out? And it was really interesting.
And through supervision, there could be like so many options. Maybe for someone else, it would have been the right choice to refer out. Maybe for someone else, it would be like really important that they build a team and you could be part of the team. And all sorts of different things might come from that exploration of what's, as you do what's true for you, how do you then show up for the client?
Now, the type of students in the program, are they only like the type of entrepreneurs who want to enroll into like packages, like, or
One of
groups?
our, yeah, it could be either. One of our core teachings is that we want to help our students move out of the hourly rate model. We're charging like an hourly rate for an hour of your time because what tends to happen is you hit an income limit really quickly. So for the healer, it's not so sustainable. But also for the client, we teach that client commitment, their commitment is the number one ingredient of their results. And so you want to build in commitment into your work. So if they can just come an hour here and there when maybe there's a crisis or they don't feel so good right then, they might be missing out on the deeper shift that can happen if they committed to working together for 3, 6 months, a year, whatever it might be for you. And so it's good for the healer and it's really good for the client. And this is how you get really committed clients, right? Oh, so many practitioners say, I just want people to commit and they want to show up and they want to do the work. Well, if you offer a container that's going to help them to do that so that when this tougher stuff comes up that you're there and that they're just committed to the process, you'll get more committed clients. So that could be one-on-one, it could be group, it could be a combo. There might be some workshop style, you know, like you can bring in all sorts of different ways of structuring committed work, but it is really the business model shift is from like just $100 an hour to like, okay, we're going to work together for 6 months. And maybe that's $5,000 for that journey that they're going to take. Now, that number might sound really scary to someone just starting out. And again, we don't start with any pricing that someone's not comfortable with past a stretch point. You know, we've had students where like the most they could stretch to is like 6 sessions for $900. Okay, we start there. And then that same student that I'm thinking of in my mind, she now charges $9,000 for a 9-month program, right? She started with where it was comfortable and it built slowly over time. But that's how you start to create more consistency in your income, more committed clients. And you can create that container and all sorts could be you meet some group, some one-on-one, it's any version of how you want to, some weekend together in a workshop, you know, an intensive day together. But what's important is the client's committing to the change that they want versus the time that they get with you. And that really makes a big shift in the way that you work.
Now, what has been like the biggest stretch for you in your own journey from when you started Thriving Healers to now? Like, what I'm curious to see, like, what are your stretches?
They're all the same things that everybody else talks about. When I started, I teach in enrollment. I teach you how to have quote unquote sales calls, okay? My dysfunction at that skill when I started was epic. That was one of my biggest stretches to get started, was being able to actually talk about my offer, my price, and stay present and take a stand for my client. My students get it way faster and easier, hopefully because of what I've learned about that process. That was a massive stretch for me. Another really big stretch is just owning my leadership. You know, I was a kind of one of those kids that was a natural leader. Kids, you know, in school would like look to me, and at some point I started to not want that responsibility. I didn't want people to think I had something they didn't have. I didn't want to be make someone feel less if I was really in my power, in my confidence. And so as I've grown, that's been a real journey of just owning it, that I'm a leader and it's okay and it's healthy and I can do that in a way that's actually empowering the people around me because of all the beliefs. And I was in corporate America where leadership looked toxic to me. So I had to unwind a lot around that and find that it's okay to have something to offer and not then somebody else doesn't have it and you have it and they don't. You're going to help them with it. You know, that's leadership and it's okay. And it's okay to say, yeah, I'm good at this. And I'm not good at this, but this I am good at, and I'm here to support you in that way. So that was a real that confidence piece around just kind of owning. And I say the word leadership, but other people might resonate about just like owning their gifts and owning that they have something to offer. That's a scary piece. That was scary for me. So a couple that come to mind. I mean, every step of the way, there's new fears. Like, am I going to invest in more team? That's one of my current stretches. You know, like, will that be safe if I keep investing in my business? And, you know, what's that balance? And those are some of the newer stretches as I grow and let other people take on roles so I can keep showing up in certain ways. And yeah.
Thanks for sharing. And I hear my baby crying in the background, so she like sucked the question I had out of my head. Oh, here it is. It came back. This is a super specific question to the other unicorns like you and I. So
Okay.
it's a business slash woo-woo unicorn specific
Uh-huh.
question. How did you ever come up any resistance where you're like you came out of the corporate world, you have the MBA, and now you're like in the woo-woo world? And how did you show up? Like, did you struggle
Oh,
with
gosh.
like being seen? Because you talk about like you overcome
Oh,
the
yeah.
blocks of being seen. And like for
Yeah.
me, being seen with the hat of being spiritual and on like the pretty woo-woo end of spiritual
Yeah.
spectrum, where we use terms like psychic or a channel or like all of that stuff. Like I still am like when I
Oh,
hear
guys,
it,
still
I
have that, yeah.
You know, like, how have you dealt with that and how has it come up for you?
It's so interesting that you just asked me this question about what my stretches were, and I didn't name this one. Oh, right, yeah. The first, so I grew up in a small town, traditional Catholic family, religious. And the first gift that came through for me in my healing gifts was channeling. I'm channeling guides, okay? It's still probably the strongest healing gift. And I did not want anybody to know, unless they already knew what that was and had valued it and thought it was a, and then I would could talk about it. Otherwise, absolutely not. I wasn't gonna talk about that. So I was consciously working on that, and I was afraid my family would know that I was a channel, and like, what does it even mean? You know, like, how do I even
Right.
describe that? I can't say I've worked through all of that. And in some ways, there's again the inner and outer strategy of building a practice is really important because I don't have to lead with the channeling. I can do it because nobody even, what if I just, I'm a channel. There's a very small percentage of the population who knows what that is and wants that. However, the gift can help a lot of people. So when I actually do my work to communicate in the language my potential clients are needing, my niche, my audience is needing, I can say, I help healers with this. I used to help corporate professionals. So my first niche was corporate professionals, women who hated the corporate world, but they were stuck in it. And I channeled for them. But I didn't lead with that. So that was a way that actually meeting your clients where they're at is part of the outer strategy that can help with the inner process and sometimes give you a little space, you know? I mean, I'm so woo in some ways, and I'm so also left brain practice. I mean, I love software. I have to put a limit on myself that I'm not allowed to go like look at and buy any more software. That's how geeky I can be. I love spreadsheets,
I'm right there with you.
I love it. I that I it's almost like it's become such a part of me that I don't even know I'm woo anymore, you know, in some ways. Like, I'd have to have a little outer perspective to be like, oh, that was like, that's that shit woo people say. Because it's just
Right.
so part of my world now. But there, that does still come up, especially around, for whatever reason, the channeling work and being seen
Yeah.
as being out there.
I like the whole not, you don't have to lead with it. Definitely. That's kind of how I feel with the flowers, where it's like, it's not too woo-woo. I'm not sitting here, I don't know, doing light language or anything. It's just something you can take in your mouth. It's
That's true.
vibrational medicine. There's no plant material, but it's a little bit more grounded and more
Yeah, it depends on the
practical.
person, though. Like, can you imagine some people on the planet hearing you say it's vibrational medicine? And then you're like, well, what's in it? And they're like, the essence of a flower. And they're like, it's just not going to compute.
Yeah,
It's not for
exactly.
them, right? That's okay, right? That's the other thing. I have found when I just talk about my channeling work, the people who don't get it's just, it doesn't even like enter their
So you just
world.
glaze over, I'm
Yeah,
sure.
it just doesn't make any sense.
So not leading with that. If it's, yeah, and some people that's just their main thing and they're just, that's what they do 100%. But in this case, it's not like the main thing, but it's supportive to the client.
Yeah,
So it's just
absolutely.
in your box of tricks, like in your bag
It's
of
one of my
tricks,
tools. Yeah.
in your tools.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Totally.
So, is there anything you want to share before we wrap up? Anything that you'd like desperately want healers to know?
The thing I want healers to know is two things. The work is so needed. People really need it. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of suffering on the planet right now. And so you're here for a purpose, right? Like, and it's needed. And the second is that it is absolutely possible for you, whoever is listening, you, if you have that deep longing to serve, to have a steady professional level income and to do this thing. There's nothing about building a healing practice that is too difficult. It's yes, there's inner work and yes, there's steps to take, but it's not like quantum, I was gonna say quantum physics, but healers even know that. It's not like rocket science. It's actually doable, steady, actionable steps. Once you know how, healers are very good at it, at building a business. It's so possible for you. 'Cause I hear that all the time is like, why me? Somebody else would be better at this. Well, because we need you. We need your unique essence and way of doing your thing in the world and your transmission. And two, they say, I don't know if it's possible for me. And if it's possible for me and all of the students I've taught to do it, the incredible healers, the new healers, then it's possible for you, whoever's listening right now.
Thank you for that. Good. It's so
Thank
true.
you.
And now it's like I think back because like you and I haven't connected in like so many years. So it's like, oh yeah, it's not like just two friends that we're connecting 5 years later. It's how the world has
Yeah,
transformed. Like we
totally.
just went through some massive shit. Like this is like we're in a whole other paradigm right now since the last time we connected. So when you say, we need you now, there's so much suffering. Like I feel that if you would have said that 5 years ago, I wouldn't have this. It's not the same thing anymore.
True. Yeah, I agree.
Like between the war in Ukraine and coming out of the pandemic and all of in the political atmosphere and all, just the mass shootings, like all the crazy things that have transpired. Since then that I've been unfortunately like we thought we needed healers before, but like now things are even more intense.
It's intense out there.
And when we say we need you in any shape, way, or form, I mean it has a different weight to it now. So this has been awesome. It's been so
Fun.
nice to talk and to
I
catch up
know.
and to hear
Thank
how well you're doing in the program, how it's grown, and all the things you've learned to support healers thrive. That's
Thank you
just,
so
it's
much.
awesome. It's been so good to see you and to hear about everything. And I hope we can stay connected. And thank you for your time to come on the show and
Oh, it's
say,
my
give my
pleasure.
regards to Jonathan.
I will. Thank you. Thank you for
Yes.
holding this space, for creating a platform that's allowing me and others to share. Thanks for the transmission of your gift that I just feel it in your presence. And I'm grateful you're here on the planet doing your thing.
Thank you. Thank you. Hold on. I have like one question that just popped that I had before that just came. See, once you have a baby, like the brain doesn't work the same anymore. I was very linear. Now it's just not. The
Probably good.
one random question I had was, do you ever have clients that are trying to build like a brick and mortar practice, like a wellness center, and they're like something like a much bigger operation versus like oh, one-on-one practice?
Yeah, we've had a couple of those over the years that built an actual healing center. Or sometimes we have like just a slightly different model that people are building. The foundations are the same, right? Like we're not actually helping someone go find the physical space and suss it out and sign a lease and all of that. But the foundations of how do you fill that space and bring people into your offerings is you need to know who you're talking to. You have to have a solid offer that's sustainable for you. And you have to do that work to get really, really clear on who you serve, how you serve them, and your offers and pricing. So that all supports creating a space like that.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks. All
Welcome.
right, so now I promise we're done.
Thanks for
All
your
right.
amazing questions.
Awesome. Okay, it is a wrap. Bye, everyone. Until next time.
Thank you guys for being here. I know that your time is the most valuable thing you have. It means the world to me that you're here. There are many more cool episodes coming, so go subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. If this episode inspired you, please leave a review so this show can reach more people who need healing. Thank you for being here. I love you guys. See you in the next episode.